Brethren, I want to read Romans 12, 14 to 21 is the theme of this. But the theme really is summarized in the verse, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. What does that mean to be at peace and live peaceably with all men, especially when you look at the current events today? You know, peace is always desired as one of the great goals of mankind. If you watch any Miss America contest, you'll learn that very quickly. We have current conflicts between races, ethnic groups, religions, ages, economic groups, neighbors, family members, and especially political parties. Peace treaties, peace conferences. It reminds you of Jeremiah 6:14. It says, they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Notice that Paul begins by saying, if it is possible. And he puts three qualifiers on this. If, it's like an open question mark. No definitive answer. There may be times when we can't be at peace with all men. But regardless, the difficulty remains. The idea is to the best of our ability to do it. And that word possible, if it possible, expresses something that's potentially difficult, but doable. Because of if, we must ask always, is it doable? Maybe we can attain it, maybe we cannot, but we've got to give it our best shot. But he emphasizes as far as it depends on you. That shifts the responsibility to us, brethren, not the person on the other side. Instead of being the contributor to the problem, we need to be the facilitator of peace. And all men means everyone, not just the brethren. So we pray, Lord, may I never be the reason for an unpeaceful relationship with another person. What does it require to do that? First, we have to be willing to admit our wrongs. Sincerely apologize. Not the apology that says, if I offended you. That's not an apology. We need to make things right. We need to forgive trespasses against us. Just get over it. 99% of the things we get upset about are not worth anything. It's our ego, our pride, our prejudices that get in the way of our living peacefully and peaceably. Now, not all conflict is related to wrongdoing. Sometimes two sides disagree with no real answer. But peace does require a willingness for us to yield. Perhaps on an issue we really care about, perhaps the hardest thing to do in either a family or an ecclesia matter. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. On matters of conviction, brethren, we should be rock hard. We should stand with grace, mercy, and integrity. Daniel was cast in Babylon amongst the superstitions and speculations unknown to man. But he studied. He applied the wisdom he had by Jewish upbringing, the true religion, the cultivation of his mind, and his knowledge of God made him superior to all the collective wisdom of the Chaldeans. That proved to be the source of his deliverance from the world of death that was around him. So when making peace for us is possible only by compromising what we consider to be the truth or the commands of God, then it's simply not possible. And that choice doesn't depend on us any longer. It's like what Peter said in Acts 5:28 and 29, when he was told, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. For Paul, it was always matters that we represent Christ well. And come away, then that we come away with an outcome that we think is favorable to us. Philippians 4:11-13 says, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. So a caution today, brethren, is that we confuse contending for the faith with being contentious. Contentious people like to fight. They don't care what the size of the issue is. They don't care what the relative importance is. It's just being contentious for the sake of asserting oneself. Many people like to stir the pot just by putting others on the edge or being suspicious. And it destroys unity by pretending that there's a principle involved in what we're doing. We don't let history sometimes fade away. We say, I remember back in 1957. Brethren, that is irrelevant to us today. Controversy for the sake of controversy is not seeking peace. So here are seven ways that I think we can pursue peace. Seven practical ways. First, don't stir up trouble over things of no vital importance. Secondly, how many times is peace interrupted because someone has a poorly thought out word or reacts to an email and sends it off without reading it first? It only takes one word to do it. And remember, words are like bullets. Once they go, you cannot take them back. Third, give ourselves second place. Not because the other person is better than us, but because we think they deserve to be first. Fourth, it only takes one to disturb the peace. I can only control me and what I am pursuing. I need to make sure I am pursuing peace. Fifth, can we carry grudges? Can we be a grouch to those around us? Can we be obstinate and obnoxious so that we do not get along with anybody? Yes, we can. And we can just say, well, that's just the way I am. But that's not the way it should be. There are consequences if we behave that way. When Paul says, pursue peace with all men, he doesn't mean just with the select few. Jesus tells us to be the light and salt in the world around us. What does that mean? We can't change the world. Many are out there today trying to, but we can't change the world now, as Brother Michael talked about. But we can change the world of one person that we are in contact with. Intentions matter, but results matter too. Remember what Hippocrates said, first, do no harm. When we help someone or offer advice, it should enable a person to move forward. And we should do it from compassion, not to appear virtuous. I like this quote from reprint 18. It's written in one of the manuals as well. According to the scriptural standard, the elect church of Christ should be the most polished, the most refined, the most polite, the most generous, the most kind of all the people in the world, and should be all these in the most absolute sense, not in the mere sense of an outward form and appearance of kindness, gentleness, etc., so common in the world, but a gentleness, a kindness proceeding from the heart, proceeding from an appreciation of the Lord's Spirit. Brethren, the Lord doesn't wish us to learn as children fixed rules, but as philosophers, fixed principles which can be applied throughout our life. All who have been begotten of the Holy Spirit of love will perceive that the principles governing the new creation are a very wide application indeed. That's a quote from reprint 4006. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all. Brethren, let us pursue that peace in our life.